We're listening to Nakedly Examined Music, a podcast about songs and songwriters. My name is Mark Lintonmeyer. My guest for episode 243 is Corey Lede, a.k.a. Corey Lede Zydeco, or Corey Lede and his Zydeco band. Though he started out as a drummer, he is best known for his accordion work and as a band leader, singer, songwriter. You're right now hearing Boudin Man from his 2013 album Destiny. He has, I believe, 8 albums under his own name and is about to release his 9th live in Alaska. And we'll talk about the song J'ai parti dans la campagne, which is in Creole. Again, that's the live version. It was originally recorded for his 2012 Accordion Dragon album. We'll also talk about That Girl Wanna Dance from his 2012 album Nothing But the Best, and then discuss how he adapts cover tunes for his style, looking at a track from his first album, 2003's 3 Years Too Late. The song is Way Back Home, which is a Jazz Crusaders cover. We'll conclude by listening to the outro from the new album, Live in Alaska, which is largely improvised. For more information, see CoreyLede.com. For more about this podcast, see NakedlyExaminedMusic.com. Or to support the effort, get ad-free feed and my detailed episode notes, go to Patreon.com/NakedlyExaminedMusic. All right, so I will play a little bit of Boudin Man, the remix from Destiny 2013, to warm people up. Is that kind of a signature song? I mean, what is, I looked that up and it refers to something culinary. What is that actually about?
Boudin is a Creole, like almost like a sausage. So it's got the casing and it has like rice in there, ground up meat. It could be pork, or mostly it's pork. Sometimes they stuff it with like seafood stuff, maybe shrimp, crawfish, stuff like that. So it's a Creole food.
That's an original, right? Where did that phrase? I'm the Boudin Man, or you tell me.
Well, I learned that song from another Zydeco group out of Houston. They call it Zydeco Dots.
Do you know what the origin of that was? Like, is it a folk song, or is there a specific originating artist for that?
The guy that wrote it, his name is Joseph Racion. Like I said, it's a Creole food. Everybody likes Boudin around here in the South, like Louisiana, even in Houston. And he likes it too. So he wrote a song calling himself the Boudin Man.
Okay. All right. It seems like your first bunch of albums were more stuff from the Creole catalog, traditional, but you've sort of been doing more and more original stuff and reinvestigating the ancestral language.
Right. Yeah.
I interviewed Louis Michaud, one of your bandmates, who had a similar thing where he did not grow up speaking this. Yeah. So we're going to talk about, well, you tell me the pronunciation again from the new Live in Alaska.
J'ai parti dans la campagne, meaning I'm going to the country.
Oh, okay. That explains your saying that at the beginning.
Yeah.
In English. Originally from your Accordion Dragon 2012 album, a much lighter recording. This one is quite a bit longer, more jamming in it. Yeah, can you say a little about where you're at with this new Live in Alaska and why you picked this song in particular?
I've always wanted to do a live project, but things never quite lined up. Every time I wanted to do one, something always came up with it. So I decided to try it again when we landed the gig in Alaska. So they ended up having the right equipment there, the right engineer to record everything. It came out good. So that's why I wanted to do Live at Alaska. And the reason why I chose J'ai parti dans la campagne to be on that album is because that's actually one of my personal favorite songs that I do. The studio version I did a few years ago was, and this is how I look at it, it's the studio version.
Sure.
You know, you're in there, you're just the band, and you're just kind of tracking it out and everything. But playing it live, you know, we're capturing the energy of the audience and the energy of the band. So it's a different feel, it's a different energy. And also, you mentioned it's a little bit longer than the previous.
Like double, almost, yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's a part of the energy. It's like another great Zydeco musician always said, you know, it's so hard to stop doing what you're doing when you love what you're doing. So whenever we play that song and we love that song, it's kind of hard to end it. And you know what? When we did it, and a lot of times when we do that, when we keep the songs long, the crowd is just into it. It's almost hypnotic. You know, the groove is there. We go into something else. We kind of went to like a little gospel feel. Because the keyboard player, he's out of the church, so a lot of his stuff is gospel related.
Okay.
So we kind of go into something like that, and the people love it. We love it. It's an energy. We was lucky enough to capture that on that album.
we're gonna take it to the country, y'all. We're gonna go to the country one time.
Nobody wants.
is there a name for that kind of beat? Dun 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 dun. In Zydeco, is that one of the forms? I don't know much about.
So there's a few different main beats that are used in Zydeco. One of them was actually created by my grandfather. His name was Buchanan Ledet, and he played drums with Clifton Chenier back in the late 1940s. One of the main beats is called a double clutch.
Okay.
And the other one, some people call it a swing beat, and some people might call it a slip double because it swings a little bit more than the double clutch. And the other one, a lot of people call it a rock back beat. And some people call it a boogaloo beat because it's the same drum beat that was done in a song called Zydeco Boogaloo. So some people call it either or. So those are like the three main beats. They also have, you know, the waltz beat. They have, you know, slow song beats. That's when it starts getting into different stuff, depending on the band, depending on the artist, sure. what they're going to do. Like if they want to do reggae, then it'll kind of, you know, it'll change. But those are the three main beats is the double clutch, the slip double, and the rock back.
That shuffle that we just heard, that's the slip double. Is that right? In 12-8 or?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it double just because it has the, as opposed to boom, crack, it's crack, 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 you know, that it's four on the floor, basically.
Yeah, yeah, either it's four on the floor could work on that because it still swings. And even when the drummer does his feels, his rolls, mm-hmm. he has to swing the roll.
And you start that, unlike the studio version, when you're doing the riff by yourself with, is that like an electronic clapping or is that the washboard? What is doing that audience clapping sound?
When we was recording it live, we kind of edited some stuff out. But the rubber player is my godfather, and he was there playing washboard with us on that trip. So we were letting everybody know we're recording live and everything. And he said, what I want y'all to do, I want y'all to clap. Everybody to clap on the beat. And everybody's like, well, we don't know what the beat is. So when I would start the song, he would do his hands kind of like that to the beat. And then people were starting to clap.
Okay, so real clapping, not spontaneous exactly, but, you know, they would have gotten it eventually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we want to make sure it was right, but we took out all the commentary when he was giving the instructions on that.
Uh-huh. You retain a lot of your audience interaction here. Well, yeah, and you refer to the gospel section. I know the Lord's going to fix it for me. So is that like an actual other song that you're sort of inserting here, or that's just a gospel ad-lib?
It's both. It's the music is more of the ad-lib, but the lyrics, I learned that from another Zydeco artist named Lynn August. He had recorded that song back probably in the early 90s, maybe late 80s.
And then you introduce your organ player, Cecil Green.
Yes.
And you call him CeeLo. And I got excited for a second. Wait, you have CeeLo Green?
That's not CeeLo Green. Not that CeeLo Green, but yeah.
Obviously not a lot of lyrics here. Do you want to translate the few? I mean, you going down to the country, what else is being said in this song?
Basically saying I'm going to the country to visit the older people, to speak Creole to them, talking about how we're going to go to the store, we're going to buy a big onion and come back and cook a big gumbo and have a good time and stuff like that. So that's basically what I'm saying.
So very Zydeco. I know you had a whole album that you did in this from 2023 that you did with this language. Were the lyrics to that mostly these kind of, we're doing super Cajun stuff, or were any of it like, oh, I'm expressing a personal thing? Like, you know, what was your approach in terms of what you're going to translate? What are you going to bother to translate?
Well, my approach was, well, my dad and everybody on his side of the family, they speak Creole. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm a part of that generation where they didn't want us to learn at the time. But now I'm learning it. He's showing me. And then we have a cousin that's also teaching me how to read and write it. So that's why I did that album, mainly to help me learn. Because, you know, life kind of gets in the way of things. And what better way to learn but to write my music going forward in this language? So a lot of stuff I'm talking about is just random stuff sometimes. Sometimes it's just some funny stuff. Sometimes some real life stuff. There's a song on there, life experiences. So it's just a blend of everything, you know, but all in Creole.
And I saw you had a co-writer listed for that album. Was that your cousin that was just helping you do correct grammar on the lyrics and things?
That was a friend of mine. His name was Jonathan Maillet. Mm-hmm. He was helping to help translate a lot of stuff. So today he helps me a lot on translations.
This song that we're talking about, Je Partis, are there few enough lyrics in this that you just did that yourself, or did you get help on this one with the?
I needed help with the spelling.
Okay.
So I knew enough to kind of get the story across, but when I wanted to write the lyrics and get the correct spelling, that's when I needed the help.
Let's talk a little about the structure. I mean, it's such a groove throughout. Like, it's just, it's unrelenting, but yet you still break it up a lot. Okay, now we're going to sing a little. Now I'm going to do the riff again. So like the walking bass part right at the beginning, do you just do your thing and let the band do their thing? Or do you have something more specific in mind of, oh, you kind of know how the bass is going to move and where the guitar is going to be in relation to the accordion, et cetera?
Each song with every instrument has its own designated part. So the bass line is supposed to be a certain way for the song, and they have to learn that, right, to be able to play the song. And then when we go play it live, like I said, the energy is real. They'll still play the bass line and they'll still play their part, but it might just be a little more aggressive because, you know, everybody's just into the moment. And a lot of that is what we call, even though we weren't in a studio at that time, but we call that, when we are in the studio and record, we call that studio magic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes something will just happen and it works, you know?
It also seems a pretty dense music that you're singing and then you answer pretty much each line with the accordion. So it's like there's no room for anybody else to, I mean, you still have, okay, the guitarist will do a lick at the end of the verse or something to carry it over. Kind of like a drummer would do a fill.
It's a Zydeco song, but it's a danceable song. So when we play music strictly for dance purposes, there is a structure that goes there. Like, you can't have like too many, well, you shouldn't have too many breaks or stops, or like it shouldn't be too busy, because what happens is if somebody is dancing on it and the song just turns to the left somewhere, you know, it could throw the dancers off. And the next thing you know, the dancers don't enjoy that song, versus kind of keeping it like it is. And like I said earlier, like, it's almost hypnotic. You know, people get on the dance floor and you keep that structure going, they're just hypnotized to it.
My daughter did Irish dancing, so I kind of got, okay, this is the jig, this is the reel, this is the slip jig. And then bands like the Pogues, that I know Louis Michaud has played in a version of, that sort of rock it up and make, oh, that's the traditional stuff that keep, is that kind of what you see yourself as doing for Zydeco? That you're, you know the tradition, you can do that, but you're adding, it seems like, a lot of like 60s, 70s R&B influence and just, you know, a house party band kind of.
Well, my style is, I'm a Zydeco based band, but I love all music so much to where I can't really just limit myself with sticking strictly to Zydeco or even strictly to traditional Zydeco. Even though I do lean more towards the traditional side, I do like to change things up a little bit, because I also, even musically, I get very bored very fast. So about every 3 or 4 songs, I got to do something completely different, or I'll lose myself. I'll lose interest just myself. And if I'm the leader of the band and I lose interest, then I know the band is going to lose interest, because they're like, well, what are we doing? I do Zydeco. That's mainly my stuff. But I like to incorporate definitely blues, definitely R&B, funk, soul, reggae, gospel. I mean, you name it. I'll figure out a way to mix it in there some kind of way.
Well, and the big thing in this band, I don't think we hear it on this song, but we're going to hear it at the very end, the outro to the whole gig, is it that your organ player will switch to kind of a 80s synth, you know, with a lot of portamento and stuff, like, which is not, I assume, is not a part of the traditional instrument set for Zydeco.
No. He definitely is able to switch through different tones with the kind of keyboard that he has, depending on the song. He's able to do that. And like I said, that just kind of changes things up a little bit, you know, instead of just having a piano all night or organ or B3 all night, just kind of shake it up a little bit.
All right, let me just play a couple sections, see if you have any sort of comments on the, you know, what you're doing musically in these sections. So let me play from right after you've done the first verse here. All right, just in terms of like how much the melody is, what you're playing on accordion is related to what you were singing, are there conventions about this, or this is just the way this song came out? Yeah.
I think that's just the way this song came out. Some songs, whatever the accordion pattern is, the lyrics will match that. Sometimes not. It just depends on each song, you know, and then it also depends on the actual artist that's playing it, you know, what they're hearing and how they feel it.
All right, well, let me throw in from the accordion break. Which sounds more blues, the thing that you're choosing to do. Yeah, any thought about, like, is this going to be radically different every performance, what you're doing?
That particular part right there in that song, that's how we play it. Mm-hmm. I usually do maybe 1 or 2 verses, and then I'll play the riff a little while, and then we'll kind of veer off and go somewhere else. But on that little break right there, once there was just the accordion and the drums and the robot playing, I was actually playing the bass line on my left hand. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what you hear kind of like in the background, and which kind of gives it a different feel too. Kind of like you said, like a little bluesier kind of feel. And then once you listen to the rest of the song, you know, we go somewhere else. We take it somewhere else from there.
Yeah, I know all keyboards kind of have to deal with that they have a left hand.
Yeah.
Like you can fill the space, but yet, okay, oh, all right, I have a bass player. That'll give some more power to it. But I guess you got to get him out of the way so you can actually hear both of those every once in a while.
Sometimes that helps.
Let me jump to the final accordion solo. Sounded like you were maybe leaning into a blue note there. Like, you know.
It was definitely going more towards the blues at that part right there. Like heavy blues.
But a very cheerful blues. Make some noise blues.
Yeah. So just in that one song, you know, so it starts off like a Zydeco vibe. Mm-hmm. Then it goes into a blues kind of thing. And then it turns into gospel. So in that one song, like we're hitting 3 different genres within 6 minutes.
So in terms of marketing this, in terms of who you play festivals with, do the more traditional Zydeco players think, oh, this young guy, he's so out there? Or is it just all love fest? You know, what is...
It's all a big love fest.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like James Brown said, you know, there's only 2 kinds of music, good and bad.
Well, it seems, you know, with your impatience with the style, but yet it's still obviously very firmly rooted in that. And just the fact that you're playing it on accordion, right? So I heard your Michael Jackson cover and like, okay, well, we're going to just the fact that you're doing it on accordion means like we're translating into this style, but it seems like it doesn't have to be I recall the my first time seeing Zydeco live. I don't even know how old I was, but all I remember was the band yelling the word Zydeco a lot. Like the group, like one of those kinds of music that announces what kind of music it is. Like, we're going to funk it up, you know,
it's definitely a lot of ad-libs. So that, and it's just that energy.
Let's stop for some sponsor messages. I want to tell you about Rula. Rula is affordable online therapy. There have been many times in my life where I'm sure that I was clinically classifiable as something or other, and I didn't see therapy as a real option. It seemed too much effort to take the steps to get the help that I probably really could have used. But it's a new world now. Online therapy can be there for you when you need it, with carefully vetted, licensed professionals available to you as soon as tomorrow. Therapy also, through much of my life, seemed like an indulgence. Hundreds of dollars an hour, certainly more than I can afford as a student. But Rula works with most major insurance plans, so the average copay is only $15 per session. I want you to really think about that. You can get the quality care you need when you need it at a price you can afford. Now, Rula is the provider group, connecting you with a network of over 15,000 providers covering all the different specialties. They're going to take care of all the stuff that might get in your way from getting appropriate care. When you go to their website, they're going to ask you some questions, figure out what kind of professional do you need, just a therapist or an actual doctor who can prescribe medicine, other preferences that you might have. They're going to find somebody that is really right for the needs you've expressed. They're going to provide the scheduling, the communications right there in the Rula app, and they're going to continue to follow your care as it proceeds. They're not going to give up on you. They're not just going to hook you up. It's true end-to-end care. Thousands have already trusted Rula to support them on their journey toward improved mental health and overall well-being. Head on over to rula.com/NEM to get started today. After you sign up, they ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them our show sent you. Go to rula.com/NEM and take the first step toward better mental health today. You deserve quality care from someone who cares. Well, let's get the second song out there. The Girl Wanna Dance.
Yeah.
Another sort of very hypnotic groove song that you have to figure out, okay, well, I'm going to vary a little bit so we can have distinct sections. A shorter studio thing from 2012, Nothing But the Best. Yeah, do you want to say a little to introduce this before we hear it?
Yeah, so this one, a lot of people like this song. And this, the drum beat on that song is the rock back beat. Mm. It's a feel-good song. It's an original song. That's how I hear music. When you hear that song, that's my style. That's Corey Ledet music right there. And it's basically talking about, you know, there's a girl that I know that's from the country. You know, they got a lot of sugarcane in the area where we are. And that she lives behind the sugarcane and she likes to party. You know what I'm saying? The people that are in the country back there, they like to have a good time. They like to forget their troubles for a little while and come out and dance to their favorite song. So that's basically what the song is about.
Yeah, so pretty much two chords, basically. And this back and forth. Okay, so just that it's a rock beat. What is a rock back? What is specific about what makes it different than a regular rock beat?
Well, that's just what they call it.
Okay.
I mean, you can hear a lot of that drum beat and a lot of Motown stuff.
Sure.
Wilson Pickett, Land of a Thousand Dances, that drum beat is in there. Also, Bobby Bland's Don't Cry No More. That's the same drum beat. So that's just what the musicians in Louisiana, we just call it that. it's not really per se a Zydeco beat.
Sure.
But it can work. Like Zydeco is like a gumbo. You could mix anything with it and it works.
The bass part sounds very Motown.
Yeah.
Was this one that when you're writing it, you're writing, here's how the bass is going to move compared to the accordion and compared to the guitar. And that's the song that you're not just sort of, here's my part, you do what you want, kind of.
Right, exactly. And like you said earlier, it's only a 2-chord song. Again, it's still a it's a song that was created for dancers. So we didn't want to have too many chords, even though you still could probably put maybe 3 or 4 chords and still make it danceable. But, you know, it's still good not to keep it too busy if you're doing it for dance purposes.
Well, and even the, you know, the fact that you repeat the first verse at the end, it's, you know, it's not like there are 7 verses. This is just like
right.
two verses and then we're going to repeat the, is that so, oh, it'll just seem so familiar that they can sing along the second time or, you know, what?
Yeah. You know, I heard Prince do an interview before and, you know, he was basically saying, you know, less is more, mm-hmm. you know, keep it simple, you know, sometimes, and I think he's right about that because I've had some songs and I've seen some bands that they create masterpieces musically. And maybe it's because I'm a musician, that's what I'm listening for. But for an average person that's not a musician, you know, and they're just looking for something that makes them feel good or whatever, if it's too busy, then it might go over their head. And I think naturally, that's just how I write songs. I very rarely write songs where there's a bunch of lyrics. That's just how I write songs. I mean, I do have some songs that have more lyrics, but that's my style.
Well, and easier to memorize. It's at some point,
yeah.
I write too many lyrics and I kind of made the transition. I saw somebody else like reading off music. I was like, I forget lyrics every gig. Maybe I'll just start reading off music all the time.
Right.
And okay. But that's a crutch because I like to be in a zone where I don't have to think.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to have to remember what the fourth verse is and how it's slightly different than the, you know, whatever. So if you just have a simple.
You just said it right there. You don't, I mean, Bruce Lee said, don't think. You know, when you think, that's when you tend to mess up sometimes. Just go with the flow. And also with that song, there's a little snippet of a song called Hanging by a Moment by Lifehouse.
Oh, okay. where in the, like in the solo section?
In the accordion solo section, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Or yeah, and even in the chorus part. That girl wanna dance all night long. That girl wanna dance in my favorite song. Leaving all the troubles and worries at home. Zydeco dancing all night long. The way I'm singing it,
sure. That's just that familiar. Just that. You can't copyright that. It's just a, yes. Well, we'll wait for the lawsuit to roll in and you
can, yeah. Yeah.
Just try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like, I know in terms of getting bored with the style, but yet you want to keep it simple, are all of your melodies pretty much like, especially when you have your newly translated Cajun French text kind of first, how much do they develop and change over time? Or are they mostly like, this is what I expressed on this day and I caught it on a little recording and that's it. And so that's why you would fall into this lifting.
Yeah. Lately, that's how it's been. I'll hear like an accordion part or I'll hear some changes and I'll like maybe sing it or whatever into my phone and come back and kind of work on that. And a lot of times, a lot of stuff happens right on stage, you know, again, with that energy, you know, we'll be playing something and maybe the guitar player will hit a certain lick. And I'm like, hey, I like that lick. What was that? And he'll play it again while we're still playing the song and I have to record it on my phone. And then once the gig is over, I was like, play that lick again. And then sometimes you can create a whole song just off that lick. So it happens either way.
And are you typically writing something like this kind of with your accordion in hand, just kind of yada, da, 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 and like, okay, that's the melody. Or are you writing the lyrics at that moment?
That happens both ways too. Sometimes the lyrics come with the music. Sometimes it comes after or before. It happens when it happens.
Yeah. Well, the last one, I'm going to the country. We got another country behind the sugar cane where they do their own thing. Any thought of where that very specific Zydeco kind of image came from?
Trail ride. They used to do a lot of trail rides long time ago. And you would see like a trail ride going down the road. Sugar cane is on each side of the road. Because I think they're actually starting to cut sugar cane right now, like towards the end of the year. But they'll have trail rides and people will be passing by the sugar canes and everything. And it's a big thing, you know. Especially when they start to harvest, they get to cutting and everything, and they have to, what they do is they cut all the sugar cane, they haul it to the sugar cane plants and everything and start making you know, the syrups and everything else with the sugar. They'll burn the field. They have to burn it to help for the next crop. And that's all a part of the Louisiana, South Louisiana experience okay. In the area that we live in. And that's why I just put that in the song. Something that people in the area can relate to.
Other than just saying it's the Zydeco beat, like actually locating it there, because the, you know, she wants to dance all night long. She wants to not worry about like, that's a universal, that's in so many R&B rock, any kind of, you know, so you got that very general thing, but let's hook it into something specific.
Mm-hmm.
After the chorus, I want to hear the two instrumental sections and kind of the first one. I know you're sort of with the guitar and then you go back to the intro riff. So kind of a subtle change between those two things, but you're definitely shifting back to the original. Yeah. Any thought about using that as a way to break up? It's going to be a groove that goes, but it can't get boring. You can't just be playing the same exact. Yeah.
Exactly. And not only does the accordion part change, but the bass line, the bass pattern changes with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you hear a difference in there. And that's just how that song came out. It's not like that all the time. That's just how that song, it basically made itself. And that's how that came about.
Well, in a very tight rhythmic bed in this whole thing, that you've got rhythm guitar that's pretty much just filling up the doing the ska thing.
I'm glad you said that, because ska is definitely in Zydeco.
Oh, okay. I think I might have discussed this a little bit with Louis in terms of just the connection between this Louisiana folk tradition and like Irish, Scottish, British folk traditions. Yeah, how much are you aware of that? Does that play into...
Well, I mean, it's like I said, it's definitely in Zydeco. Like, I still listen to a lot of early No Doubt stuff.
Mm.
And I like a lot of their stuff. I like Real Big Fish.
Of course, you're making me realize that I don't know, actually, I need to interview a ska person, because I don't really know the origin of ska, like if that comes out of Irish music or something like that.
Yeah. Well, even like reggae, like the guitar parts mm-hmm. for reggae. I mean, that it'll fit with ska and it'll fit with Zydeco.
Sure.
I mean, it's crazy about how when you think about all these different genres within Zydeco.
I brought up that rhythm guitar, the fact that you have that, but then you also have the organ that sort of waits to come in and then is just punctuating certain things and just doesn't seem to, like, you kind of have an extra instrument or two than strictly needs to be there to give you the propulsion.
And when they're there, they just do subtle stuff. Like, it's not, again, because this is a dance song, so... It's only subtle stuff. I kind of use this analogy. I say, you know, it's kind of like cooking a good meal. Like, you don't want to put too much salt in it. You don't want to put too much seasoning in it. Even though you could take the whole salt can and dump it all in there, but that wouldn't be, you know, good. So you just use a little bit what you need.
And in both these songs that we've talked about, they have the fermata ending, the trash can ending, where you know, and in this one, actually, that's the only place where you hear the organ. I think it's in both songs that the organ sort of makes the, as opposed to, I mean, if everybody's doing that, like I noticed the lead guitar doesn't do that.
No.
It's just the organ this time. So that's you directing that, or that's you pulling somebody out of the mix, or?
Well, no, that's basically at the end, because it's the end, everybody can kind of throw a little bit of extra salt on there. At that point, nobody's dancing, right? When the song is ending, people are probably walking back to their seats or whatever.
Yeah, is this another one that it seems like there's room for quite a bit of extra jamming? That does this get to be 5 minutes plus?
That girl want to dance?
Yes, or is this just like we need to make it pretty concise and get out of there before they get...
I think that song right there is, it's not one of those songs where we would take it somewhere else. I think that song is just what it needs to be. And so far, since we keep it that way, people still like it. So I don't want to mess with that, you know?
All right, well, for our third tune... You had suggested From 3 Years Too Late. Is that your second album, first?
Very first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which I've not heard in full, but you were good enough to send this to me. Way Back Home, which is a cover of a Jazz Crusaders tune. Is that whole album cover tunes?
No. I'm trying to see. I think there was a couple of other covers on that project. But no, that whole project was not a full cover. It was a mixture, again, of covers and originals, and also different styles of music on there as well.
Well, it's good for us to include this, because clearly, you know, with your relation to the tradition and the Boudin man that we already talked about, incorporating covers, getting into the folk tradition is important. But, you know, this is not a folk song. This is a, I know they're called the Jazz Crusaders. It's just a groove. Even the original version is a short groove. It's not jazz particularly.
I would call it smooth jazz because I love smooth jazz.
Yeah, it has a full horn section in the original. Here, it sounds like it's one sax player and you filling in the rest of the horns on accordion. Is that
basically, yeah.
How did you pick this one? I mean, it's a great groove for you guys to just, your version is longer than theirs. but yeah, what was the story from behind this?
Well, my cousins, they had a Zydeco band back in the 70s and 80s. They were called the Sam Brothers Five. They were the first kid Zydeco band, period. They were like 10, 11, and 12 years old.
Okay.
They were basically the Zydeco Jackson Five because they came up in the 70s when the Jackson Five was, you know, out there doing their thing. And they would play top 40 music along with Zydeco, like the Jackson Five stuff, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I learned that song from watching them. They played that song quite often. And I tried to play it the way I learned it from them. They played a little bit faster than the original. If you listen to the both versions. So that's kind of where I got the idea of doing that one.
All right, let's hear it. So surprisingly big fat horn sound just out of the two of you, or is there the organ is also thickening it? What's going on there?
I think the organ is in there somewhere in the background.
Right. And you eventually have a guitar solo. You have your synth organ doing sort of electric piano-y sort of things toward the end of it. The sax gets a big solo. Yeah, so it's just, we got our head. I know this is a while ago, 2003. Is this still in the live set at all?
Yeah, sometimes I'll throw it in there. It's still in the back of the mind. And with this not being a Zydeco song and what I would consider smooth jazz and also an instrumental, gives the musicians a chance to fill in that space because there's no vocals. So it's going to require, you know, something to where, you know, it won't be just a plain or bland melody. So of course it's got changes, different musicians get a chance to solo, you know, just as something to kind of give interest to the instrumental.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a opening or closing theme, like this is what you're playing while the singer walks out or something.
Yeah.
Got that feeling. Do you tour with a horn ever at this point?
Not so much anymore, because I found that some of the songs that I have that I play on the small accordion, the little diatonic accordion. To me, a horn doesn't match too well with that kind of a chanky chank sound. So I opted for a keyboard player. He'll be able to change different tones on his keyboard, like he can do some synths and stuff like that. And I mainly kind of stick to my piano accordion, which is basically just a piano, right? It's just the keys are up here instead of down here.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about your variety of squeeze boxes and things. Yeah, you know, through these three songs, are we all hearing sort of what you just described, your standard accordion?
Well, most of my stuff that I like to do is on the piano style accordion because, like I said, it's just a piano. It's got all 12 keys on it. I mean, you could play any kind of music you want on it, just like a piano or guitar or bass. So it gives you more freedom versus the little diatonic accordion. It has its limitations. So you can only stretch it so far. And it has more of the diatonic accordion has more of a chanky chank sound. Like you can definitely hear the difference. It's like a chink kind of sound versus playing a piano accordion. Like I said, you can do anything. You can hit chords. You can just do whatever. So it changes the sound and changes the vibe.
And what is the range? Like in your right hand, are you basically sticking to an octave and a half? Or how much room do you have there?
For the piano accordion, you're doing everything. You're hitting chords.
But how many octaves is your range on that?
It's 41 keys on the left-hand side and 120 bass buttons on the left side.
Okay, all right. So there's no compromise from playing an actual piano with that.
Right.
And so with the diatonic, that's meaning it's like a harmonica that it doesn't have all the, you have to.
It's basically a big harmonica. If you open it up and take the reed block out, it's like a huge harmonica that when you blow, there's one note. And when you inhale, it's another note on that same reed.
So does that mean like harmonica that you're carrying four of them around so you can do different keys or you just only play in a couple keys?
Well, no, it's only in one key, but you can probably play in about maybe two or three keys, but that's about it max. But they only come in one key. And a lot of guys, that's why they have like so many small accordions. But I only bring maybe one with me when I go because everything else I can play on the piano.
At some point, I was negotiating with somebody over the internet who was going to play an accordion part for me. And I sent him the part. I was like, oh, no, this is in B. I can't play a part in B. So he just didn't play on it.
Yeah.
Especially for studio stuff. Do you feel like, oh, I need to use the diatonic for this one because I actually do want that more percussive chinky chink sound, whatever?
Yeah. Like I said, it all kind of depends on that song. Each song has its own journey. Each song has its own lane. So it just kind of depends on that. I will try both just to see what feels better. You know, I might come up with an accordion part and I'll try it on both styles just to see. And sometimes the accordion part might need more. And if it needs more, then I have to play it on the piano. Meaning like it needs more chords or it needs more runs or something. Like something's missing.
So in terms of the rest of the band, how much consistency has there been? Are there a couple players that you've been playing with, you know, since 2003 here that are still in the band now, or is it completely different?
My cousin that plays rumboard with me, he's been there since day one, so he's there. The band has changed throughout the years. Lately, what I've really been wanting to do, and it really just hit me like in recent years, not only am I, you know, trying to learn the Creole language, but if we go back and listen to 3 years Too Late, like I mentioned earlier, there are several different styles of music on that one album.
Mm-hmm.
I realized it just hit me. I'm like, that's me. That's my style of music. I love to be able to stretch out. And for a while, somewhere in the middle right there, I kind of was just using musicians that, you know, strictly couldn't perform, you know, Zydeco style stuff and not be able to venture out. It kind of locked me into a little space right there. But in recent years, you know, past 2-3 years, I've been going back using musicians that are able to branch out, like Cecil Green, coming from the church. You know, there's nothing he can't play. Julian Primo, he's the guitar player for us. Another one, you know, there's no style of music that he can't play. Musicians like that, which will allow me to do everything I want to do. Like, we even played in California a couple years ago before the pandemic. We did a Zydeco song. I forgot what Zydeco song it was. But after that, we went into Sweet Child of Mine, and that went over so good. The people loved that. But it requires a certain musician to be able to jump genres like that at the drop of a dime.
Well, I guess even though this is a cover, it's probably not like, have you ever had anybody in the audience say, oh, I know that Jazz Crusaders tune?
A couple of times. Yeah. A couple of times.
I mean, the melody is familiar, but I don't know what I've heard it from. Maybe it's been used in soundtracks and things.
Yeah.
I don't think I had listened to this whole album before prepping for this. So even just having a sax, as you did in this lineup, so that's not a normal Zydeco thing, right? It seems like you're getting toward klezmer or something. If you
typically, yeah, because Clifton Chenier, when he created Zydeco, he had a horn section.
Okay,
but again, he was playing the piano style accordion. He was doing a lot. He was leaning more towards the blues. So of course, horn works with blues, rhythm and blues, jazz, and stuff like that.
Okay, so it seems like Zydeco is already sort of a developed, or is there like the pure form? Like, I'm thinking again, by comparison, Irish music or something. They're like, oh, there's the pure form with only these particular small set of instruments. Seems like Zydeco is historically later. When do you think feel like Zydeco started?
Clifton actually started Zydeco.
Okay.
And when he called it Zydeco, his definition was basically, you know, he's still going to be playing traditional French music from when he was a kid, which a lot of that was played on the diatonic accordion, because I think he was one of the first, or if not the first person, to start playing the piano accordion. And the reason why he did that is because the piano accordion allowed him to play the old French stuff that was originally played on the diatonic stuff. You can still play it on there. Plus, if he wanted to mix something else in there, like blues, he's got it all in one accordion. So when he started doing his form of Zydeco, it still had the old French music plus old blues music and the sounds of the time that he was coming up in, like the old Louis Jordan stuff, the old Ray Charles stuff. Of course, that's piano music. You know, and he had a horn section. So his version was a combination of his culture and different styles of music and also the sound of the times.
So this is like the 1940s, is that right?
Yeah, 1940s. He got discovered in 1955, and that's kind of when his career really took off. But around that time, late 40s to the mid 50s and all that, and then it kind of just grew from there.
So for the purest thing, we'd have to be looking at French folk music, really, which, you know, I don't know as much about, just because there hasn't been a crossover. I mean, I guess Zydeco is the crossover, but you know, that's that's its own thing. It's Louisiana based. But in terms of people in France, I'm sure it's just the language difference. There's probably a version of the Pogues or Steel I Span who does their rocked up version of English folk ballads. There's probably somebody doing stuff from the 1600s in French. I just don't, you know, we just don't hear it over here. I don't know. Are there any, like, have you gotten hooked into a bunch of French, specifically artists learning this language and sort of opening up more to these traditions?
Yeah. So a lot of people are actually starting to get more curious about the Creole language, and the dialect that my family speaks is called Kuri Vini. And there's a lot of resources coming up that people are trying to learn that. But I think going off of Clifton's design, like I said, it's always been traditional music mixed with top 40 music and mixed with the sounds of that time. So like nowadays, people are putting a lot of R&B and hip hop. That's because that's just the time that we're in right now. And they're still keeping the dance music going. They're still keeping, well, they're learning the Creole language now and everything. It's just a different time that we're in. So we're kind of still following his floor plan with the Zydeco.
Have you ever played with a guest rapper?
Just I haven't, no, but the a lot of other bands have, yeah.
Well, very cool. To finish off here, so you picked as our last song to just, we're just going to introduce it and we'll leave folks with it. It's another, it's even longer. It's longer than, but it's the outro from Live in Alaska, which includes a lot of let's introduce the band, let's call out to the audience in various ways. Yeah, obviously it's not all an improvisation because you're, you know, doing call and response. But yeah, how was this song that doesn't have a name? It's just called Outro.
It's mostly an improv because that's the song that we always close out the show with. We close out the show with a bang. So we want to start with a bang towards the middle. We still want to have a bang in the middle. And then at the end, we got to end off with a bang. So the whole show is just like an experience.
Yeah, I've noticed multiple of your albums have an intro that is, you know, has maybe leans harder into the synth thing. Like it's some kind of different style.
Yeah.
Such that putting Way Back Home in that slot, like that would work okay. But, you know, just that we're going to have, you know, make the whole thing kind of cinematic or something that we're going to have.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So we hear a lot more that 80s synth thing solo that is not in anywhere else on what we've heard here. But yeah, it really surprised me when I heard on one of your albums that Michael Jackson cover that had all these, you know, just an instrumental.
Yeah.
But then, you know, just reflect, well, okay, you're doing a lot of stuff that interacts with R&B and, you know, it's not that crazily different.
No. And like I said, I just like to mix a lot of stuff. I get bored quick. And I love covers. Like, I really love covers. There's so many great songs out there. But you do have to be careful when you start to record them because then you have to get, you know, licenses and stuff like that. But usually when you play live, you know, it's okay.
Sure.
People are just like me. I mean, people love music. So when you play the right song the right way, it always works.
So you mentioned Sweet Child of Mine. What are other ones that you've pulled out at various shows that went over particularly well?
I love doing Sweetest Taboo by Sade.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I like doing that one.
And I'm picturing it as a Sweetest Taboo, which is probably, you're doing it slow. You're doing it.
No. When we do that, no. And a lot of times when I do the covers, I try to do it in the field that it originated in.
Yeah.
You still maybe put all a little twist to it. I've done Twisting the Night Away by Sam Cooke. We've done Footloose. I'm about to say, well, I'm an 80s baby, so I do a lot of 80s
stuff. Sure.
Jungle Love by Mars Day and the Time. Just a bunch of stuff.
All right. Well, I'll try to link folks to some of these if I can find the YouTube versions that have captured any of these things so people can get a sense of it. You know, it seems very much like you're adapting to the material as opposed to klezmer music or something, which, you know, also accordion or, you know, the polka, that everything becomes a polka. That this is not Weird Al playing his version of that everything.
Well, you know, we played in Houston a couple of years ago and we played a place, I forgot the name of it. And I actually just threw it on the band that day. We didn't rehearse it. I just kind of told them what the parts were before we started playing. And we played Hey Baby, Que Paso.
Okay.
And they really enjoyed that.
All right. Well, I will take a look for any of those that might have been captured on YouTube. Thanks so much for chatting. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And here is the outro from Live in Alaska 2025 coming out December 23rd.
Did you have a good time? Did you have a good time? I hope I treated you right. I hope I treated you right. We gotta say goodnight. We gotta say goodnight. I hope you had a good time, y'all. 'Cause I sure had mine. Bonsoir, vous autres. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're making jump. We're gonna make a jump. y'all. Good night. God bless. We're going to see you next time.
Thanks so much to Corey. You can check out his music at CoreyLeday.com. Hey, I said at the beginning that he has 8 albums. That's how many I count on the streaming services and other places I was looking. His literature says this new one is his 16th album. Maybe that includes live stuff, but it sounded from his intro like this Live in Alaska is his first live album. I don't know. Good stuff. Generally a new genre for me. If you're looking for some good dance music, seems like a good gift. Check out the new album when it comes out later this month. I hope you are subscribed directly to this podcast through some of the links at nakedlyexaminedmusic.com or get the ad-free version that includes my detailed episode notes at patreon.com/nakedlyexaminedmusic. I have some good guests lined up. I have not recorded any of them since talking to Corey. I was supposed to do one this week, but was getting over a sinus infection, so it's been moved to next week. Likewise, with the holiday bustling and illnesses and things, I have not made a lot of progress on my album, just a couple bass parts, so it's definitely not going to be out before the end of the year, unfortunately. But there's a lot of my older stuff. If you are curious, go look at marklint.bandcamp.com. I hope you are being more successful than I am in being creative, in continuing on your artistic journey, whatever form it may take. Until next time, keep on musicking. This is Mark Lintonmeyer signing off.